In the first two chapters of the Bhagavad Gita, the first chapter talks about Arjuna Vishad Yoga, Arjuna's sorrow, grief, which is all our sorrow. We are Arjuna. Arjuna and Krishna are not somebody sitting somewhere 5,000 years ago on a chariot, but Bhagavan is talking to us. So it is our problems, because when we are faced, Arjuna was of course faced with a battle, but when we are faced with problems in life, the Bhagavad Gita can always give up answers. No matter what problem we have, a study of the Bhagavad Gita will help us. And so in reply in the second chapter, the Lord says three main points. One is that the Atma, the Self, the consciousness is eternal. It never perishes, the Om. And you are that. That is your higher nature. That is the highest knowledge of the Upanishads. So he starts with that. And that seems a little difficult for Arjuna because he has not yet studied the entire Bhagavad Gita. So then the Lord comes down to the path of Karma Yoga, that it is your duty at this moment to do what you are trained to do. There is evil forces and you were trained for that, and that is what you have to do. And then Arjuna seems to wake up from his stupor, because he was lying down on the bottom of the chariot, disheartened. And he asks the first questions in the Bhagavad Gita that Arjuna asks, and that is, Sthita Prajnasya Ka Bhasha, Samadhistasya Keshava, Sthitadi Kim Prabhashet, Kim Asit, Rajet Kim. So how does a man of wisdom walk in the world? How do we recognize him or her? How does he deal with situations? And then we heard the beautiful description of a man of wisdom by the Lord. And he ends with saying that just as an ocean remains the same no matter how many rivers enter, so similarly the man of wisdom remains the same no matter how many desires come, because desires constantly come at us through the eyes, ears, nose, tongue, skin, you know, I'm hearing, smelling, tasting, touching. And the man of wisdom does not overflow, while you and I, when something good happens, we get all overjoyed, and when something bad happens, we get depressed. This person remains balanced. And so now starts the third chapter, but just to, before we introduce the third chapter, the entire Bhagavad Gita is in the form of question and answers. And that was the method of teaching of Vedanta, of the Upanishads also. Even the Upanishads, the student who is ready approaches the teacher and with humility asks the question. And nowhere the teacher says, you know, I want to teach you. The student has to express a desire to learn. And same way, this third chapter also starts with a question with Arjuna. And why does he ask this question? Because he, at the end of the second chapter, he had heard carefully, or not very carefully, but he had heard what the Lord said. And he got the idea that there are two paths. One is the path of action, which is the Karma Yoga, and which the Lord wanted him to, from karma, go to Karma Yoga. And the other path is the path of knowledge, which the man of wisdom practices. And then Bhagavan ends with summarizing the path of renunciation or sannyas. Vihaya kamanya sarvan pumans charati nispreha nirmamo nirahankaraha sashanti madhigachati. So who reaches shanti? One who gives up all desires, I and mine, and all longing. Such a person, only as long as we have desires within us, selfish desires, we cannot have peace. So Arjuna thinks, okay, there is a path of knowledge, there is a path of action, and then ultimately renunciation. So, and the man of wisdom practices knowledge. So then he feels that there are two paths, and he is a little bit confused as to which path I should practice. And also the second chapter tells us to give up our selfish desires, egocentric desires, and work with without ego, without I and my, as a servant of the Lord. And Arjuna seeks confirmation of his thinking because he was so determined that I'm not going to fight, not going to lose. So he looks for some affirmation that in this second chapter, where can I find a loophole? You know, when I'm convinced and somebody is trying to convince me that my thinking is wrong, what do? I look for a loophole. How can I attack this teaching of Bhagavan of the second chapter? So that's what the freedom our scriptures give us, that a student at any time has a right to ask a question, even disagree with the teacher, even question the teacher's teaching. And it is the job of the teacher not to criticize or put down the question, but to answer to the best of his ability. And that's what the Lord consistently, very patiently, we'll see in the third chapter, how patiently the Lord answers the question. So let's start with the third chapter. Atha Tritiyo Dhyayah. Karma Yogah. Arjuna Uvacha. Jayasi Chet Karmanaste. Mata Buddhir Janardana. Tat Kim Karmani Ghore Ma. Yo Jayasi Keshava. Arjuna Uvacha. So Arjuna starts the third chapter with two questions. Arjuna Uvacha. He said, what did he say? Te Mata. In the middle of the first line, Te Mata. Your opinion, O Krishna, Jayasi Chet. If you think that Jayasi, superior, then karma is buddhi. Jayasi chet, Jayasi means superior, chet. If you think that karma, rather than karma, superior is buddhi, O Janardana, O Krishna, that was one of Krishna's name. In your opinion, if you think the path of knowledge is superior to the path of action, tat kim, then why karmani ghore mam? In this difficult or very dangerous or very bad path, a very tough path or very wrong path, ghorema, in this wrong action, mam niyojayasi keshava, O Krishna, why are you pushing me in this wrong path? Ghora means very wrong path, because it's a path of destruction, a path of violence, and you are encouraging me to go on the path of action rather than on the path of knowledge. So that is Arjuna's question. And as we said, he thinks there are two paths. So let us see, first of all, some beautiful names of Krishna are used here. Janardana. Janardana has, when you look at the Sanskrit etymology, has several meanings, but the couple of them, one is Jana, Dushta Janam Ardayati. Jana Ardayati Iti Janardana. So Dushta Jana. So the evil people, Ardayati means destroys, punishes. So Krishna is the one, the Lord is the one that destroys or punishes evil people. Other meaning of Jana, this is a Sanskrit, is Janayati Jana Iti Jana. That which creates the beings. So what is that? That is Maya. Maya is the one that has created this universe. So Jana, Janayati, Iti, Maya. So what does Janardana do, Krishna do? Jana, Ardayati. It destroys Maya. It removes the ignorance of Maya. In Hindi, they have a phrase, you know, Maya ka pardafash. You might have heard that. So it destroys the ignorance that Maya creates. So that is the name of Krishna, Janardana. And then Keshava, again, has several meanings. One is Keshava. He had this beautiful, curly, long, black hair. That's why he was called Keshava. But if you split Ka, Sha, and Va, Ka, Isha, and Va. So if you split Keshava into Ka, Isha, and Va, Ka is Brahmaji, Isha is Shiva, and Va is Vishnu. So Krishna represents the total consciousness, where the creator, sustainer and destroyer, all three are in that one consciousness, because Krishna was a incarnation of the Supreme Brahman. And that's what they said, the first 11 years and 52 days of his life, he manifested the Supreme Consciousness, Brahman. That's why he was able to destroy all the demons and play the Ras Leela. The Ras Leela was the play of Atma with Paramatma, the Lord with the gopis, with the different souls. And then after 11 years and 52 days, when he left Gokul and went to Mathura to fight with Kamsa, then it was Vishnu Bhagwan who was manifest. So he was an avatar of Vishnu, but the first 11 years, 52 days, he was a manifestation of Brahman. So that's why Keshava is Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh. Now, here, there is this misunderstanding that there are two paths, the path of karma and the path of jnana, path of knowledge. But Shankaracharya ji and Gurudev in his commentary says that they are not two separate paths, they are not two divergent paths, it's not either or, but they are consequent paths, they are subsequent paths. That means you take the path of karma, you do the right action, do karma yoga, reduce your vasanas, and once your mind is pure, then the knowledge will stay better. But does that mean I should wait till all my vasanas are exhausted and then everything is exhausted before I start listening to the Bhagavad Gita? No, the Lord says that as you listen to this knowledge, this also helps in destroying the vasanas. So this knowledge itself helps. So they support each other. The path of karma, the path of knowledge support each other. As I do good actions, my mind becomes pure. As my mind becomes pure, my understanding becomes clearer. As my understanding becomes clearer, my mind becomes pure. My vasanas reduce. And then they say, how about the path of bhakti? You know, because a lot of people think that in Hinduism there are too many paths, the path of knowledge, the path of jnana, karma yoga, the path of bhakti, and then the path of hatha yoga and meditation. But our scriptures say all four paths work together. Just as when I am serving the Lord, I learn about the Lord, I develop love for Lord. So path of bhakti comes. So bhakti, jnana and karma, and the path of meditation and austerities all work together to elevate man's. But it depends on your, on your abilities. Like one person is very action-oriented, loves to work. So what does he do? He takes the path of karma, karma yoga, serve the world. Another person is very devotional, very loving, and just cries for the Lord. Okay, so they say that can be your predominant path, path of bhakti. It does not mean you give up the others. You still get knowledge, you still serve. But your predominant path is bhakti. While for this first person, predominant is karma, but he still should study and love Lord. Then the third person loves to read and loves to go to lectures and, you know, listen to Mahatmas. So they say, okay, make that your first path. But as you know more about the Lord, you will develop love for God and you will serve the Lord. So with the body I serve Him, with the mind I love Him, with the intellect I know the Lord. And then the path of meditation or Hatha Yoga includes all three. Includes you sit down with your body, you love God, you know who God is, and then you meditate or contemplate upon and destroy your vasanas. So even though there are multiple paths, it depends on your interest or depends on your abilities. You can pick one as the predominant path, but in my opinion, do all. Do some puja every day, do some service, do some reading, do some meditation. So like they said, na, take no chances. You know, I told that joke one time. So jahan se bhi Bhagwan mile, wherever you can find Him, don't lose any opportunity to get close to God. So make that your... Then Saint Francis had a very beautiful saying I was reading. He says, your action is only as deep as your knowledge. It's a very, very powerful statement. Your action is as deep as your knowledge. So only with the right knowledge will your actions be purified. If you don't have the right knowledge and then you try to work in the world, that's why he, in this statement, he combines both, that your action is important and your knowledge is important, and one supports the other. So karma and knowledge, Arjuna thought that they are two separate, but they say they are two stages, like a rocket. You know, now on Cape Kennedy, when the rocket takes off, first there is this Atlas booster. Zoom, it takes off, and it needs a lot of power, because to get out of the Earth's gravity is so powerful, so very powerful rocket. And it goes up to, you know, maybe a few miles, and then once it gets out of the Earth's gravity, the rocket drops off, the first stage. Then the second stage takes over, which is a more gentler rocket, which takes the space shuttle, say it wants to go to the moon. So it then slowly, effortlessly takes it towards the moon. So that's the second stage. So that is path of karma. Karma is the first stage. You do service and you have knowledge. But I was reading somewhere there is a third stage. See, just as the rocket first took off, that's stage number one. And then the second stage, the shuttle is carried towards the moon. You know, the moon lander or whatever. But then what happens is when this capsule comes near the moon, then that rocket is no longer required. Then the moon's gravity pulls it. And then the shuttle, how does it land? It does not land by the booster rocket. The booster shuts off. The moon's gravity is pulling. In fact, they need parachutes to slow it down. Otherwise, it would land too hard. When Neil Armstrong landed on the moon, they actually used parachutes because the moon's gravity is now pulling the rocket. So the way we can apply that in our life, that we do service, then we get knowledge. So service needs a lot of effort to get out of our ignorance, our vasanas. And then knowledge is kind of gently is guiding us towards the truth. But then as we get closer to the Lord, then the human abilities cannot reach. Then you have to surrender. They say, Bhagavan, now you take over. I have done what I could. I came close to you, and now you have to, because the human being with his or her abilities cannot reach God. You and I, no matter how much effort we put, we cannot reach. We can reach up to a particular point and then surrender and say, Lord, now it's your doing. And then he pulls us. He or she, that consciousness, Brahman, the Lord, finally will, his gravity or his pull, that's why even in the 12th chapter, he says, Tesham aham samudharta mrityu samsara sagarat bhavami nachirat partha maya veshit chetasam. So he says, one who puts his mind on me, then it is my responsibility to lift them from this ocean of samsara. So rather than two stage, there is a three stage rocket. And the third stage is the Lord's effort. Similarly, in school also, people, you know, say somebody is in junior high, 7th or 8th grade, and he says, I want to directly go to college. Now, a few people do. There are examples of some people who are so bright that straight away they get taken to college after 8th grade, you might have heard. But those are rare exceptions. Most of the people after 7th, 8th grade have to go to high school and then go to college. So similarly, the path of action, some people directly can go to the path of knowledge, which we'll talk about in the third shloka. But most of us have to go in steps. And Ghora, I already talked about this wrong action you are asking me to do. And Arjuna finds this loophole that you said path of knowledge is superior to path of action. He said, yes. I said, well, that's exactly what I want. I want to give up this action of this war. I want to go to the forest and just meditate. You said, didn't you say, the path of sannyasa is the most superior? Even you get knowledge and then you get action and then you give up both and develop. I want that. If I want it, then why are you stopping me? He says, this is exactly what I told you in the beginning of the first chapter. So why don't you listen to me? But Arjuna thinks that Krishna has not understood my question. Because Krishna was, you know, smiling. You know how he is. He's always smiling. He's always there. He doesn't say, have any reaction. So Arjuna feels that, I don't think Lord has understood what my question is. So he emphasizes this question a little more.